The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs sports radio, Wheels.
Good Tuesday, Tia. Welcome to the show. Gang, all here. I don't know if you can handle all three of us on this show at the same time. Ryan, Chris, and Wheels, we got you till 6 o'clock. So much to discuss. Chris,
yeah.
You have been gone for about a week. Mm-hmm. How was Galveston, Texas?
Let me just put it this way. There's a beach there.
Okay.
It's not
that's
like going
the redeeming
to the
quality of Galveston.
There's not a lot of it's not the California beach that I go to most of the time, but there's a beach there. But,
okay.
We went and paddleboarded in the ocean with my daughters. I have a long story about that. I'll figure out a time to interject that today. But it was fun. It was fun.
Good. Well, we're...
It was so hot.
Yeah.
100%
it's been hot
humidity.
Here, except for when it rains.
I was going to ask you because I left, and I mowed my lawn before I left, and then I just got back, and it's like Lake Braden, and the grass grew so high you can't even see your feet when you walk through it anymore. I was like... Did it rain the whole time?
Pretty much, right, Wheels? I mean, pretty much every day.
So the Sky Sox must be in town.
No, they're not. That's the
really?
Good thing. We look outside, and I don't know if Wheels has the same
radar
thought process I do, but when I go outside at night and I see that it's raining or I see the forecast, I'm like, are the Sky Sox playing today at home? No, okay.
Oh, we're good. We'll dodge a bullet there.
If there's a rain delay in Vegas, guess what? That's Dan Acheson's problem.
But it's funny. People in Texas, you know, Texans are football fans.
A little bit, so I've heard.
And they all wanted to talk to me about the quarterback situation here in Denver. I mean, it was like the funniest thing. My wife was like, you've been asked about that by like four or five times. I'm like, yeah, I know. Same answer. And I can't say it, or am I past the week? But yeah,
no, Wheels hasn't enacted it yet.
Oh, okay.
My guess is it's probably going to be saved for during the season.
But it's
if he
funny.
Is the starter.
So you think Galveston's close to Houston, you'd have tons of Texans fans, right?
Right.
Big D all over. Like you will find one Texans fan for every like 10 Cowboys fans.
But that's a hard fan base to overcome, the Cowboys fan base.
Right, but I still get the business for not being Rocky's number one.
Mm-hmm.
So
you went around and like, what do you think about? Did you talk to these Cowboys fans that are in Houston? And you say, are you a native of Houston?
You know what? I did. I said, so where are you from? And then they would tell me Sweetwater. I named about Lake Jackson and like all this kind of stuff. But I was surprised because you and I both like Dak Prescott. And they go, it's wait and see time.
Seriously?
I am not joking. It's wait and see time. We like him, but it's been 1 year.
Okay.
It's been 1 year. And I go, what about Zeke? Well, Zeke. And I go, Zeke gets in trouble. Dak's like a choir boy. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see this year if he's our guy. He was great last year. We'll see. Like, I would have been like all over. You know, if Dak Prescott was the quarterback of the Broncos, how happy would we be right now?
Well,
to even know who the quarterback is?
In one sense, we would be very happy. In another sense, we'd be like, so the running backs, what do you think about that? So part of it is yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is fairly exhausting following these two guys.
The latest sports news, interviews, and scores. You'll want to paint your face before listening, but don't. It'll only make you seem weirder. This is Extra Sports 1300.
Welcome back, Drive Time Sports, here on Extra Sports 1300. Ryan Kaufman with you. We are embarking on our second season of Football Night in the Springs, bringing you the best high school football game of the week. And to get you ready for season two, we are previewing each and every area team in a segment we're calling 25 Teams in 25 Days. First up are the Liberty Lancers. Joining us now is the head coach of the Lancers, entering his fourth season at the helm. Mark Seitz is my guest. Coach, how was your summer?
It was outstanding. Thanks for having me. We're ready to get back going here on the 14th.
So. Yeah, we're excited to have you guys right out of the gate here. As I mentioned, year four, your first freshman class, they're seniors now. Everybody in the program has known only you. It gives you a real chance to put your stamp on a program to get everybody on the same page. When you talk about a Mark Seitz coach team, what are the values? What do you like to instill to these guys that you hope now everyone up and down your roster now has?
Well, our program, you know, we value what we call the Lancer way, and that's being first class in everything we do in the classroom, on the field, in the community, and our, you know, relationships with our families and friends. And so those are things that we value, that we hang our hat on, and, you know, we instill in our kids that, you know, they're student athletes, and, you know, they're going to be professionals and have families someday, you know, long after their playing days are over. So it's important to, you know, learn those personal responsibilities and grow into young men, and high school football is a great avenue to do that.
Last season, you win two fewer games than the year prior, but you look at the circumstances that you guys were in. You have you were breaking in a new quarterback. You lost your number one your leading pass catcher from the year prior. You lost your top two tacklers, I believe. I understand that turnover is a part of the business, but looking at all the teams, not as many teams had as much turnover as you. So obviously, the record is, I'm sure, disappointing and not what you guys were hoping for, but not completely unforeseen, no?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, going 3-7, we had our sights, you know, set obviously higher than that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we came up short. You know, there are a couple games that we were right at the end, and we didn't make a play when we needed to, and, you know, in order to win those games. You know, we did have a small senior class last year, you know, which means, you know, we had some younger guys that's, you know, stepped up and, had to play for us and play key roles for us. And in so doing, you know, got some valuable experience that now as seniors and, you know, juniors and seniors this year, you know, we expect, you know, some really great things from, you know, for those kids that kind of got thrown into the fire last year.
Is Trevor Halverson your quarterback?
Well, we have open competition at every position. So, you know, obviously we expect great things from Trevor, like we do a lot of our seniors, but nobody's being handed a position on day one. Everyone's going to have to go out and earn whatever they get, and you know, we've got a couple really good kids that we feel good about at the quarterback position. We've got some top returning linemen coming back, you know, and some really skilled kids at our skill positions that we're excited about.
What are you most looking for in Trevor if he is going to win this job? What does he need to be better in than he was last year?
Well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, all kids grow and mature. So obviously, you know, the older they get, the more that typically happens for kids. So, you know, he's a fine young man, very good player. You know, just, you know, like all kids, needs to be a leader, needs to lead by example. And, you know, whatever role we put him in, he needs to, you know, take it and run with it. And, you know, whatever's best for the team needs to be, you know, kind of how we go about it. So,
Liberty Lancers head football coach Mark Seitz joining us here. 25 teams in 25 days, counting down to the second season of Football Night in the Springs. Your team rushed for 1,568 yards last season. You've lost all but 122 of those. Nowhere else on the field are you experiencing more turnover than in your backfield. So as you look at that position, are you looking at maybe one or two guys shouldering the majority of the burden, or do you think that you have a few options in the backfield that could kind of give you some different looks?
We have depth at the running back position, some kids, you know, some juniors and seniors that we feel really good about that have had a really good summer for us. And, you know, as I said before, all positions are going to be open competition. So the kids that step up and win the jobs will win the job. And that's kind of how we're going to go about it. So
on defense, your top two tacklers are returning. With Bossert and Gossage, which there's got to be, with the double S's in there, there's got to be some kind of pun that I can think of before we have you guys in one of your games. But leave that there for now. They took such a big step forward for you last year as you experienced a lot of turnover on the defensive side. And now they're back, and a lot of guys you look on the defensive side contributed for you are back this season. Every year is new and kids change from year to year, but I got to imagine that you feel very good about what you guys are going to be able to do on the defensive side of the football.
Well, we really do. We're, you know, talking to our coaches and prepping for the season, we really feel like we're ahead of where we were this time last year, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So, you know, we're really excited about the prospects we have on defense, some of our playmakers. You know, we feel like we're going to be, you know, able to put some points on the board on the offensive side. And we are very excited about the prospects we have on both sides of the ball. You know, Nick Gossage, you know, for one, is obviously going to be an anchor for us on both sides of the ball, on the offensive and defensive line. He's had an outstanding offseason. We've had our best offseason yet in terms of our participation and you know, the work ethic that the kids have shown. We've had a summer, you know, we want to play at tempo. The offseason has been at tempo, and so we're real excited about what we've gotten accomplished this summer. And you know, we're very hopeful that we're able to translate that into success come fall. So,
and it's not going to be easy. You look at Ponderosa, Pueblo South, both outstanding teams in your conference last year, and then you look at them, and Ponderosa gets Sterling Ostall back, who threw for 2,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, and then Pueblo South not only gets their very efficient quarterback back, but they have their top two rushers returning, who combined gained about 2,400 yards. It's not getting any easier in the Foothills Conference for you, Coach.
No, sir, it isn't. Our league is definitely one of the toughest ones around, if not in the entire state. It's an extremely competitive league. You know, Cheyenne Mountain, Sand Creek, good football teams, good programs. No easy ones in our league. You're going to have to bring it each and every night if you're going to win league games, especially on the road. And, you know, we understand there's a, you know, great challenge that lies ahead. Our non-league schedule also very challenging. You know, so it's, you know, we're, you know, we explained to the kids we needed to have a good summer, and we did. But it's go time now, and you got to bring it each and every night. Otherwise, it's not going to happen, because our league is very, very good. A lot of talented playmakers. You know, the kids you mentioned, obviously, you know, Cheyenne's returning a bunch of kids, you know, Sand Creek's quarterback's coming back. I mean, there's playmakers all over the place. You know, Grand Junction Central, you know, not from the Pikes Peak region, but they're in our league, and their offense was as explosive as anybody in the whole state last year. So it's definitely a really good league, and great challenge for us, and obviously we need to bring it each and every week.
Well, doesn't seem like you guys can wait to start hitting somebody else. Just 11 days after your first official practice, you'll be taking on Rampart at D20. Can't wait for it. Coach Seitz, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you again so much. Appreciate you having me on and for your time, and thanks for all you do for football in the Pikes Peak region. We appreciate it.
The head coach of the Liberty Lancers, Mark Seitz, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. And tomorrow on 25 Teams in 25 Days, we preview Liberty's first opponent, the Rampart Rams. Rob Royer had one of the more surprising teams in the city last year. Can the Rams be even better in 2017? Find out tomorrow as we count you down to the second season of Football Night in the Springs right here on Extra Sports 1300.
They know more about sports than you do.
It blows my mind that people choose to pick out that it's Aqib Talib that is doing this instead of the fact that it needed to be done.
And even if they don't, we'll continue to say they do.
You guys are way too cocky.
It's Ryan Kaufman and Chris Brayden on Drive Time Sports.
He's just going to be mentioned
every
single year.
He would be a great choice.
Sure he would, but he's like old and shouldn't be coaching.
Presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery on Extra Sports 1300.
Hour number two on this Tuesday edition, Drive Time Sports. Ryan, Chris Wheels with you in studio. We'd love for you to be a part of the show. You can do that by texting us 286-0046. Best text of the day. We'll get a $25 gift certificate to Texas T-Bone.
I go there. They have great steaks. I was going to tell you this. I have never given out the super secret ninja text line on this show.
We don't want you to hoard your own.
No, but I was
this
like,
is a community.
But I think it was 3 years ago I gave it out.
Right.
And when I was down in the Gulf, I got like texts from like four or five different people. They have the super secret line. I was like, you still have this? That's what I would text back.
And they're like, wait, yeah. What I would say to those people, why are you just talking to Chris? What, Wheels and I? You don't want to talk to us? You want to talk to Chris?
Well, and it was a
secret?
Joke. In fact, Matt Pauly prompted me because do you remember Petros and Money?
Yeah.
Petros gave out the secret textoso line, which we would always listen for, and we got it every year. We got it. And I was like, I'm going to do that. And I did it. And it's a mistake.
So how did this, without saying the number again, how did it, did you like just say it like casually and then said it once and then it was gone?
I promoted it.
Oh, you promoted it.
I was like, Secret Ninja text line's coming soon. And I did it. Oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. So we went for about a week and then finally Monday gave it out.
It's funny that you talk about, you know, him getting text messages and leaving us out because you get all the tweets.
You do.
You get tons of tweets and nobody ever tags us in them.
Bingo.
I feel like that's different.
We're looking right at you now.
What? Are you like my... I'm looking at my
email.
You haven't
tagged me in a tweet either, Wheels.
That's because you use weird gifts.
So I'll tell you why. I thought about you today because I was doing that. So I'm in marketing. And nowadays, anything on social media, if you're advertising, it has to be some sort of video attached. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started doing the weird GIFs. And it was like, what do you think, 6 months ago I started doing just
something
the
weird,
really
yeah.
stupid ones? So I go and check my analytics on my Twitter, on my tweets. You should see how many people look at those. Like, if I do one without a GIF, nothing. Do one with a GIF, boom.
See, this
home,
is
like
why,
today was a home run.
No, but they
with the nachos.
But they say, oh, and I have something planned for tomorrow when they start back up with Broncos training camp.
Yeah.
I have something directly for you.
Oh, yay.
That
good
we are going to start doing on the show. I wanted to do it last week, but
Tim
said
Tebow
it's
watch?
Funnier. It's funnier if you're here instead of like, hey, we're going to do this because you know how Chris says about Trevor Siemian. You know how much he loves Paxton Lynch. Here you go. So look out for that tomorrow.
Peanut butter jelly time. Okay.
You son of a...
It's peanut butter jelly.
Yeah, time. But you don't know what I'm doing with Paxton Lynch.
No, I don't. I'm excited.
You did figure out
excited.
The Trevor
Simeon. That's one thing that you do very well. You do very... The imaging and stuff you do is really good. And so
look
excited.
Out for that tomorrow. But they're not on the field today, so we really can't do it.
I'll text
one
him.
Thing that we that I semi-intentionally held off on yesterday because I think that this discussion is much better when you're here, Chris.
Okay.
Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News was on Peter King's podcast, and the subject of Terrell Davis came up, and this is what Goslin said.
I think it's lowered the bar. And I think a lot of people now are going to think they're Hall of Fame candidates because Terrell Owens is in. Terrell Davis had three Hall of Fame caliber seasons. A guy like Sterling Sharp played 7 years. He's got to say, hey, I had a longer stretch of greatness than Terrell Davis. I should be considered. It's to a point where he's going to become the Lynn Swan of running backs. Every running back that's not in is going to point to Terrell Davis. And I think a lot of players from other positions as well are going to point to Terrell Davis because he had three Hall of Fame caliber seasons. I think he got in for the 2,000 yards, got in for the playoff performances, but bottom line is he was a Hall of Famer for three seasons in his career.
Hallelujah. Somebody said it.
He doesn't know who he is.
Here's the deal. Can I start on this, or would you like to?
No, I have stats in front of me. So
okay. Let me
first
set
of all,
the
he needs to know who he's talking about, number one, and it's not Terrell. It's Terrell.
Right. And not only did he call him Owens, he continued to call him Terrell, which is Owen, the way Owens is.
And another thing is I'm sure that he felt that Jerry Jones deserved to be in the Hall of Fame before Pat Bowlen. So anyway.
And that's all something we can get behind.
Yes.
Okay. I think I want to frame this discussion in a certain way because the fact of the matter is Terrell Davis is a Hall of Famer and there's nothing that anybody can do about. For the rest of his life, he is going to be a Hall of Famer. He will be enshrined in Canton. He'll have a bus. He'll have a gold jacket, all that kind of stuff. So I don't want to start, you know, with a discussion on why he shouldn't be in. I know that he's in, and I know reasons that he's in. He's in because every running back that has won an MVP before Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Every running back that has won a Super Bowl MVP, except for Otis Anderson, is in the Hall of Fame. The three 2,000-yard rushers that came before Terrell Davis, O.J. Simpson, Eric Dickerson, and Barry Sanders, are all in the Hall of Fame. So Terrell Davis has reached benchmarks. We talk about Adrian Beltre over the weekend. Gets 3,000 hits. That's automatic Cooperstown.
Yeah.
My argument and why I agree with Goslin is that is a slippery slope that you go down if, and that is also lazy voting. If you look at Terrell Davis and you say he checks this box, he checks this box, he checks this box, not this box, so he's in. You have to look at each and every player on an individual basis. And to say that he's done those things so he deserves to get in is a little bit lazy. And I do feel like Terrell Davis being in the Hall of Fame lowers the bar for Hall of Famers. And it doesn't necessarily – it's obviously a shot that he's taking at him. But I also want
to
look at this –
Well, and then do the Sterling Sharp thing. How many Super Bowl MVPs does Sterling Sharp have? Does he have an NFL MVP? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd have to look at that.
Because there's two different discussions.
Go ahead. Case.
Yes, go ahead, please.
So, he's absolutely right on the short career. Did you know there's only one tackle that Terrell Davis made in his entire career?
There's one tackle?
The one that he made that blew his career up. On paper, he did some special team stuff in the preseason. But, so Terrell Davis, from 95 to 2001, 6 years, not three, 6 years, averaged 142.5 yards per carry.
Well, the reason is because he missed so much time the last 3 years of his career.
Right. So for 6 years, but listen.
Okay.
John Riggins, 110. These are all Hall of Famers. Eric Dickerson, 103. Emmitt Smith, we can agree that all of those are great running backs.
Mm-hmm.
93. Steve Van Buren, 91. Marcus Allen, 84. Franco Harris, 81. Tony Dorsett, 81. Dutch Clark, 80. Curtis Martin, 79.5. And Larry Zonka, 74.3. I mean, there's a million cases to be made all around, but Terrell Davis, his career was short, but that doesn't make it. There's no difference that, you know, there's nothing he could have done about that.
Right.
For someone to even come out and say something like that just means he's a jerk.
But I think there's a difference. There's a difference between saying,
like Emmitt Smith last year, does that even count?
Huh?
Like Emmitt Smith, right. Really, let's be honest. Look at all these guys at the end of their career. They were barely doing anything.
Well, that's true, but that's the natural decline of football players.
Yeah.
Not everybody is John Elway, mm-mm, right? Not everybody goes out on top.
But that's why their careers are extended, right, is what I'm saying.
Rick Gosselin is saying that Terrell Davis doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I am taking what he's saying, and I'm saying the point about lowering the bar is absolutely unequivocally true. He is lowering the standard of the Hall of Fame. That doesn't mean, I mean, yes, I guess
lowering
I'm missing
the standard.
Words. Yes, it's lowering the standard.
No, because when a MVP gets into the Hall of Fame, that's not lowering the standard. He is changing maybe the amount of years where people will look at guys that really flashed hot. I think that's changing it. I don't think that's lowering the standard, because if Terrell Davis didn't do what he did, probably the best running back in the playoffs in the history of the NFL gets in the Hall of Fame, there is nothing wrong with that.
But here's what happens. Otis Anderson can say he has 3,000 more yards, 3,000 more yards than Terrell Davis in his career, mm-hmm, and he can also say he's won a Super Bowl MVP like Terrell Davis. Jamal Lewis can say not only has he won a Super Bowl, he's rushed for 2,000 yards in a season, and he also has 3,000 more yards than Terrell Davis in his career. Chris Johnson has rushed for 2,000 yards in a season. Are we going to put him in the Hall of Fame? Sean Alexander has won an MVP as a running back. Are we going to continue to say because you check certain boxes, you're automatically in?
I just don't think if you played a long time, that makes you a Hall of Famer.
No, and
like Curtis
Jerome
Martin,
Bettis,
let's be honest,
Jerome
is Bettis he a Hall of Famer?
Huh?
Curtis Martin?
No, and neither is Jerome Bettis.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, the rules are different for every player.
Here's my thing, and it sounds nitpicky, and it sounds like I'm creating an impossible standard, and I'm making players thread a very fine needle. Jerome Bettis and Curtis Martin are stat accumulators.
Right.
They played for a really long time. To your point about yards per carry or yards per game or whatever, Bettis and Curtis Martin were not that.
Mm-mm.
They got in because they had the good fortune of playing for a really long time on a lot of really good teams, Bettis more than Martin, but they got to play a long time and they had luck on their side. And when you look at their statistics, for the amount of years they played, they weren't that impressive. Jerome Bettis is a lot like Jeff Bagwell, who got into the Hall of Fame this weekend.
Oh yeah,
were you ever just blown away with Jeff Bagwell as a baseball player? Were
yeah,
you ever,
sometimes when he came to Coors Field, I was him and Biggio.
were you ever blown away? Jerome Bettis was a popular player.
I
were
really
you ever
liked Jerome
blown
Bettis.
Away by his skill. Were you ever blown away by Jerome Bettis?
Maybe a few years in Ella in the as with the Rams, maybe. Yes.
So you have that end of the spectrum, and you have Terrell Davis, and you have Gale Sayers. Because here's the thing. What I talk about with people, even in my own family, because Gale Sayers comes up, right?
Yeah.
Gale Sayers
argument.
Also lowers the bar of the Hall of Fame. Without Gale Sayers, Terrell Davis doesn't get in. If Gale Sayers is not in the Hall of Fame, Terrell Davis doesn't make the cut, because 7 years to play in the NFL is a blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He actually lasted longer than a lot of guys do. But that's what separates a really good career. What Terrell Davis did during his career is absolutely worthy of year-by-year accolades, MVPs, Pro Bowls, things like that. That's why those things are there.
I Hall just don't get, no, understand careers. Why you get at what you get out of dogging this and poo-pooing this. This is
I don't
the week
get
that
anything.
We're celebrating.
It's what I believe. That's the line of work that and we're so, in. I have nothing against Terrell Davis as a human being
no,
or
I
as a
No, I feel like you
want to
be right in this.
Absolutely.
I think that's your MO.
Absolutely.
And you'll never be right. Like, I'll never agree with you.
Look, here's the thing. I'm not, you know, we're not on this show to convince one another because none of the three of us.
Nobody changes their mind.
Nobody changes their mind.
No.
What we are out
Except
to
you
do.
Except you on your hockey team.
Is plead our case and let our listeners sound off on who they think. What we are doing is we are like two lawyers. We're like on Law and Order.
Yes.
Let's start the TED 2. Bum, 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 bum.
Exactly.
I'm a lawyer guy. Anyway,
I want to be bull.
We are presenting our cases, and it's up to the listeners. Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
We, Wheels and I, because Wheels and I are very like-minded in this, we have lost. We have lost this
battle. I was so
battle.
Happy the day you got in.
But at the same time, we can still make the point that Terrell Davis has lowered the bar, and I don't want to put it all on Terrell Davis because Gale Sayers lowered the bar first. And all you Bears fans out there that love Gale Sayers, guess what? Your guy caused this. So if you are going to sit here and say that Terrell Davis doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, you're high. Because Gale Sayers doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And the only reason Terrell Davis is in is because of Gale Sayers. Look at the other players that are in their Hall of Fame. Terrell Davis does not sniff that group for a career unless there's Gale Sayers.
Let me give you a hypothetical. Let's say Zeke Elliott plays three more years.
Okay.
And the Cowboys win a Super Bowl. He gets an MVP, blah, blah, blah. Is Zeke Elliott in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Yeah, he's getting in.
He shouldn't be.
Because it's the Cowboys. He's definitely in.
Pro Football Reference. And I know a lot of you guys, maybe even you, Chris, your eyes glaze over or you roll your eyes whenever I bring up sites like this. But Pro Football Reference is a widely accepted and respected website. One of the things they do is they take the careers of every NFL player and they compare them to one another and they find peers. The peers of Terrell Davis for his career are Priest Holmes, Ray Rice, and Billy Sims. And Billy Sims was viewed as a bust in his career because of injury, because of unfortunate, crappy things that happened to Billy Sims through no fault of his own.
Right.
But he was considered a bust, being a Heisman Trophy winner, coming in the NFL, shredding his knee, and he never reached. He had really good seasons, but he never reached his potential, and he's not a Hall of Famer because of this injury. And you cannot tell me that Ray Rice or Priest Holmes are, and I'm a Chiefs
Priest
fan.
Priest Holmes was awesome.
I will never.
I loved having him on my fantasy team.
I will never bang the drum as a Chiefs fan of Priest Holmes getting in the Hall of Fame. I will never do it. Priest Holmes is not a Hall of Fame player. But those are Terrell Davis's peers.
But that's the way we look at it. I'm a fan. You're saving.
And that's fine. Guy. Terrell Davis is a better human being than I can ever hope to be. And the joy that Terrell Davis has brought people in my family, my friends, is
and
awesome.
John Elway.
I can't tell you, one of the greatest moments of my life is watching my dad and how excited he was when the Broncos won their first Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
And Terrell Davis had everything to do with that.
Yeah, he did.
So I always have a soft spot in my heart for what Terrell Davis did for the Broncos. But what he has done is deserving of all the accolades that the Broncos can give him, and it also deserves MVPs, Pro Bowls, things like that.
And obviously a gold jacket. Cause he's
not so obviously. It did take a while.
My buddy's like sitting here texting me. He's in Canton right now. Invited personally by Terrell Davis. I didn't get that invite.
I love Terrell Davis is a wonderful human being, but he is absolutely lowering the bar. But that Gale Sayers lowered first. That's Broncos country. You can take respite in that. That is Gale Sayers' fault first. That he lowered the bar so much that Terrell Davis
Gale
was able
Sayers
to
Gale Sayers and Terrell Davis just got injured a decade too soon or a couple of decades.
That's fine, but Sayers. life gets in the way. What is that insurance company? Life gets in the way. Sometimes people are given crappy breaks in their life.
Yeah.
And they don't get an ultimate honor or don't get to achieve everything they hope to achieve. Life is
hard. I just don't think longevity isn't everything. And that's what everyone's
turning into. And that's a fair point to bring to the table. And I say longevity isn't everything, but you have to have some standard of longevity when it comes to the Hall of Fame. We're getting text messages on this.
Sports. You love it. We love it. Even my ex-wife loves it. Which is shocking because it shows her cold black heart is capable of loving something other than herself. Extra Sports 1300.
Last call for text, 286-0046. We have a leader in the clubhouse as far as our text of the day, but you can unseat them if you want to try to win $25 to Texas T-Bone. Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Rockets, said that the NBA might be better without awards. He told the Crossover, I don't know if there is a good process. The ones that are decided by players or executives or media, they all have their strengths and weaknesses. I honestly don't think there's a good process. You could argue for eliminating the awards altogether. What I say is he's on to something here. First of all, would you guys like to see the elimination of postseason awards?
That's stupid. Him just saying this made me change the channel.
If he's on to something, then so is Blake Griffin in his response.
Yes, Blake Griffin. Honestly, we should do away with championships too. Seems dumb to me. Participation trophies for everybody. Don't at me.
Yeah.
We talked about yesterday off the air that Wills and I long for a day where we can put "don't at me" at the end of a tweet.
You can do that now.
But it doesn't make any sense.
You have to have something in the tweet.
Don't at me.
Although I just thought of something.
What?
I'm not going to say
it. He's going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
Don't at me.
Don't at me, bro.
And you're going to hate it, Ryan.
Catch me outside.
Catch me outside.
Don't at me, Ryan.
Don't at me. Well, see, I actually disagree. I think that Blake Griffin is wrong because championships are not subjective. Because you have two teams, they play, whoever wins that game or whoever wins that series is a champion. Mm-hmm. It is less subjective than postseason awards. So I say, why stop there? Like, for instance, your kid's science fair and art show awards, take them away. We don't need them. No judging.
What
no
about
judging of any
grades
kind.
On essays?
Grades?
On,
yes.
Yeah.
Grades are subjective. Totally. Not in math.
No, not in math.
Math is right or wrong. It's binary. You either got the right answer or you don't.
Yes.
Unless you do that garbage way of to show your work. I got the right
answer.
No
one's going to ever
grade. Who cares how
paper.
I got there, Mr. Math teacher?
Oh, they care now.
Yeah, they do.
So weird.
A lot. So even for my son, who's in going into third grade, his teachers wanted him to show his work.
What if I didn't do the work and my dad put the answer down for me?
I got the right answer, right? Okay. That's bad parenting. So grades in English, gone. Your Employee of the Month awards, gone. That's subjective. That's your boss is saying you're the best employee of the month. That's subjective. Get rid of it.
I say so.
I
deserve it every month, but I don't get it.
That's true. I haven't gotten it either.
I've won it twice.
There's a parking spot out front with my name on it.
But that should tell you how much I believe in the cause. The fact that I've won twice, and I would say I give them up in a heartbeat and say...
For what?
No, just be for the cause.
Oh.
Putting my fist up for the cause of getting rid of all subjective awards.
Every word I got has been binary.
Also, Oscars, Emmys, Grammys, get rid of it all. What good does that do? All it does is make us want to watch stuff that in the end we're going to regret.
What about Hall of Fame voting?
Like the artist Do you know that that movie is in black and white and is silent? It's horrible. But why did I watch it? Because it won an Oscar.
How long did you get through it? The whole thing?
No, God, no. Does it turn back to color and sound at the end?
No. Well, that would not even get on my screen.
I do it because I like it myself a cinema snob.
You're a thespian.
So I watch things like The Artist, and I say, this is the biggest piece of garbage I've ever
seen. While you're watching that, I'm watching Super Troopers.
I know, and you're so much smarter than me for that. And then finally, the most important thing, how could we forget? Presidential elections, gone, right?
Ooh.
Yes, there is a voting system, right?
But the Electoral College seems a little bit.
Right. But here's the thing. It's all opinion, right? We didn't know that Trump was going to be a better president than Hillary or the other way around. You thought he was. That is a belief. That is subjectivity. So now, by Daryl Morey's standard, we have no more presidential elections.
I wanted Paul Ryan.
Everybody takes a test called History of the United States. Whoever gets the most right becomes president.
Ooh, that's a good
no
one.
Subjectivity.
Like 1,000 questions
so
or something?
So Ken Jennings or Watson the computer from IBM become our president?
Well, it would be logical.
That's all I'm looking at. And it's objective, right? You either know the most about the history of the United States or you don't.
Maybe we
Daryl
need
Morey's
one of the Transformers.
Hmm?
Just put Watson in a Transformer.
And he could be our president.
That would be awesome.
I take that probably over the last 3 presidents.
I'm down with that.
Watson in a Transformer. That's going to do it for the show. Thanks to each and every one of you for listening. Joseph, you're our text of the day. We'll get in touch with you, and we'll be back with all of you tomorrow at 3 here on Extra Sports 1300.